The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Welcome to a 1-0 edition of Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks. It's your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast, Joe McCann and Phil Bush. Phil, it's good to be 1-0.
Yep, feels good. Not much to take away, but a win's a win.
We're just going to take a quick look back at the win over Loyola Maryland in today's show, and then we're also going to talk about Marcus Howard now that he is officially Marquette's all-time leading scorer. Just give some thoughts on him, and we'll look ahead to a very big week for Marquette basketball. The schedule really steps up a notch with two Big Ten teams that Marquette is going to play over the course of the next 7 days. But first, let's just talk about the last one, Phil. Love to hear your thoughts, because I know you were at the game. I was actually able to watch... here in Texas, where I live, here's how I figured it out. Like, my office, we have DirecTV. I don't have it at my house, but I figured out we had Fox College Sports, so I just decided to stay late, just do a little extra work, stay until 7, and boom, just got some tacos and sat in my office and watched the Marquette basketball game. That's how desperate I was to see it. But it was worth it. I was glad I was able to see Marcus Howard breaking the scoring record in person. My initial thoughts on it, Phil, it's really pretty much exactly what I expected from this team. I expected them to win big, check. I expected Marcus Howard to be great, check. Theo John to lead an improved defense, also check. And I also had some questions about if anyone was going to be able to step up offensively besides Marcus, and that concern is maybe still there a little bit. Anything on your end that you took away from it?
I think you're right that we were it was about to be expected. I think on the positive side, I mean, Marcus looks like otherworldly right now. Like, you know, granted it was Loyola, Maryland, who apparently are better than Wisconsin, but
if they are, we're gonna whoop some Badger butt this weekend. Yeah, we'll see about that.
According to a denizen of the Twitter sphere, Loyola's better than.
And now Loyola
Wisconsin
was missing one of their best players, but still, they were completely outclassed in that game. Marquette's defense I thought was pretty good, but I do think Loyola missed a bunch of wide open looks that kind of inflated their. Marquette's defensive numbers for that game. So don't want to take away too much credit, just want to kind of call it like I saw it. I thought Loyola just shot the ball terribly, and that really fed into the blowout.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Like, you know, I mean, Marquette played good defense, but they certainly didn't earn the 22% that Loyola shot from three. You know, some of those were good looks that just clanked. I think there was good. I think the biggest concern I took away from that game was turnovers. The very first possession, Marquette fumbled the ball away after winning the tip. So that's of concern, right? Like if Marquette's going to be efficient on offense, they cannot turn it over at the same clip that they did last season. And we thought some of the turnover issues might have gone away with Joey transferring and Chartouni graduating, but maybe not sure. But that was of concern to me.
When you're stepping it up a notch against some really good defensive teams this week, so that is a concern, especially because a lot of those turnovers did come from the ball handlers.
Right.
Marcus Howard had 4. Kobe McEwen had 3. Samir Torrance had 4 in 17 minutes. Maybe some freshman jitters there. Hopefully, can shake that off. Sakar had 4. Theo John. Maybe he would have some issues with turnovers like the big guys normally would, but no, he only had 1, so he was not an issue. So really, it was the ball handlers that were turning the ball over quite a bit. So yeah, the turnover number was a bit high for me. Like, after Marcus kind of went supernova in the first 10 minutes there, the game did really get kind of sloppy. Now, again, first game, it's really nothing to panic about, but one thing, if you want to just take a little slight concern away from this thing, is like I alluded to earlier, when Marcus was not going absolutely crazy from the three-point line, the offense was really sluggish. Now, some guys were able to get a few more buckets and hit some shots in garbage time, like Kobe McEwen hit a few threes late when the game was out of hand. Sakara Anum got some buckets when Marcus got out of the game. But overall, I would hope we're going to see a little more offense from some other people this week, because these two teams are playing, they both know who Marcus Howard is, and they are going to have a plan for him and players who are better equipped to handle Marcus Howard than Loyola did. So that is one thing that gives me a little hesitation going into this next week.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think I kind of want to go on record as saying I think Jace Johnson plays this week. So I think we're gonna see the two big lineup. He was jogging in and out of the tunnel, you know, and I haven't stayed in a Holiday Inn in a while, so I'm not qualified to make any medical diagnoses. But he seemed to be moving pretty good, so I would suspect that they'll bring him back this week, especially with Purdue's height. So we'll get maybe the two big system. I think the thing that was most interesting to me in the Loyola game was how little they used the post. There was very minimal post entry passes, and you know, one of the few times they did it almost instantly resulted in a Marcus corner three that was good just based on the pure passing as everyone collapsed around Theo John. So we'll see. I don't know. Like, maybe that Loyola game was just a Milton Berle game for Wojo and the team in terms of, you know, just pulling out enough to win. And I don't know. That's what I'm hanging my hat on. But they definitely have to play better against Purdue and Wisconsin.
I also do wonder, to be fair, about, you know, the kind of the one-man scoring option. If there was a little bit of an effort just to get that scoring record out of the way in the first game, mm-hmm. just so it's not a story anymore.
Yeah.
Just say, look, let's just get this thing out of the way. Let's celebrate them. Maybe we can do something before the Purdue game to celebrate them, you know, give them an official basketball, celebrating him as the all-time leading scorer, and then let's just move on with our lives and focus on the season. So if you know, if you're worried that maybe Marcus was shooting way too much or they was too focused on him, maybe there was a tiny bit of an effort to say, look, let's just let him shoot and get this record out of the way.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was probably, especially after the first couple shots went in. I mean, he had 10 points in like 4 minutes or, you know, 3 minutes or something like that. It was it kind of got.
Yeah,
out
when
of
he was in
fast.
The 20s, like halfway through the first half, I'm like, he's getting it tonight.
Right. There were, especially with the way the score was, that they if the plan going into the game wasn't let's get Marcus the record by halftime, you know, by with 10 minutes gone in the first half, they were going, yeah, we're going to get Marcus this record and then call it a day. So yes.
You know, overall, can't complain too much. Like I said, maybe you can nitpick on some things here and there, but you're never going to complain about a 35 point win in your first game. KenPom numbers, pretty decent. Effective field goal percentage, top 11 in the country as we're recording this on Sunday night. Effective field goal percentage on defense in the top 10. I'll take that any day of the week. 3-point percentage, number one. How about that?
Hey, well, when Marcus Howard goes 7-for-10 from three, that's gonna boost your record there a little bit.
Yeah, so bold prediction: Marquette will not shoot 60% as a team for the entire year.
Easy. Let's not get too risky with our.
If
prediction.
They do, they will win the national championship. I'll tell you that
for sure.
If they shoot 61% as a team for the entire year, national champs.
Unless they do not take another three the rest of the season.
Thank you. You're right. Yeah. Okay. That's true. They don't shoot another. Yeah. Fair enough. You know, let's just talk a little bit about Marcus Howard now that he has the record. You know, I think one thing I'd like to do in the show every week is bring the Marcus Howard tracker that Alan Bukowski has on cracksidewalks.com and just bring it into the podcast so people know where he is and what's coming up and, like, what records or what marks he could achieve this coming week. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
With 38 points this season, he is now at 1,993 career points. He is now the all-time leading scorer. The only milestone he could hit this week with 7 points, so please God tell me he's going to get that, he will be the first Marquette men's player to reach 2,000 career points. So that will be his next milestone. The next few might take a few weeks because it has to be in like the 200s, maybe up, yes. Up 200, 300 something points for him to get some of those other milestones that he could get. So that's the one milestone he can get this week, is the first Marquette men's player to get 2,000 career points. But I just have to say, like, it is pretty cool that we're all getting to watch some history here and see Marquette's all-time leading scorer. And, you know, God willing, knock on wood, you know, he has a healthy season, and he's going to put this record so far out of reach, Phil, that who knows when anyone else may approach it. I mean, for someone else to approach the number he's going to put up, that's probably going to be north of 2,500 career points, 2,600, something like that. The odds that Marquette gets another guy who is, A, as talented a scorer as Marcus, and B, plays four seasons at Marquette to get there, it just seems so unlikely. So I think this, as long as he has a healthy season and can play the full year, I think he's going to put this mark so far out of reach, it's going to stand for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and I mean, how long did the record stand until before Jarrell took it? George Thompson.
That would have been about 30 years, right? Because
right.
Thompson played in the early 70s, right. And then Jarrell broke it about 10 years ago. So, yeah,
30-something so it, years. It lasted a good 30 years, and now, you know, Marcus is coming in the three-ball era. But, you know, so that's part of what allowed him to, you know, Jarrell didn't develop a three till very late in his career. So that's part of what has allowed Marcus to get the record now so soon in his senior year. But yeah, I mean, the combination of playing 4 years, and if you're that prolific of a scorer that you can do it in 4 years, by the time he's all said and done, that record's out of reach. I bet it lasts another 34. I'd love for it to fall in, you know, 2 years. That's fine. I don't.
Yeah, I would love to fall for it 3-4 years. That would be, Marquette's got some serious scoring power and guys who are staying for a long time. That'd be amazing. But yeah, I think odds are it might not fall. One other note that may be worth throwing in this tracker, if Alan's listening, it's something where we won't know until the end of the season, for Marcus Howard to become Marquette's all-time scoring average leader. So points per game, in other words. George Thompson has that record at 20.4, because remember, he only played 3 seasons, and he had the record for a long time before Jarrell McNeil broke it. George Thompson's scoring average is 20.4 points per game. Marcus Howard came into this season at 19.7 points per game. That was actually tied with Dwayne Wade for second in Marquette history. So with his 38-point performance, he has bumped his scoring average up to 19.9. So something to track is over the course of the year, if he can get that, you know, you would figure if he averages, I didn't do all the math, but you'd think if he averages in the mid to high 20s this season, that his scoring average would get north of 20.5 points per game. So it's a good chance he gets that record too, but we'll see how that goes. But that's where he is as far as scoring average at Marquette. He already has total points, and now he's just going to keep on racking up other milestones and maybe climb the Big East all-time scoring chart and some other notes as well. But enjoy this ride while we can, because who knows if and when we'll see another scorer like Marcus Howard at Marquette. It's been a thrill to watch. I'm excited to see what else he does this year. He's a great representative of the school and the program, and you know, everybody seems to really like him. You hear nothing but glowing things about him from coaches and school administrators and people who deal with him. And
with two notable exceptions.
Yes, there are probably two former student-athletes who probably would disagree, but everyone else seems to really like Marcus Howard and really appreciate him, and we should all appreciate him while we have him scoring buckets for Marquette basketball. It was cool to see some of the past players give some shout-outs to him. I don't know if those were played at the Fiserv Forum, but we saw him on Twitter, and they've been going out on social media this week. Like Jarrell McNeil gave him a shout-out, and Dominique James. I'm sure we might see some others over the course of the year, but good for Marcus. Happened to a great kid, and can't wait to see exactly where that mark stands when the season's over.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be one of those things we're gonna look back on 10, 15, 20 years from now and kind of just wax nostalgic about the Marcus Howard experience. So it's great to kind of experience it in real time. And again, this, you know, they've got to have some form of balance, but this team is going to live and die by Marcus Howard on the offensive end, right? Like he's gonna have to deliver an outstanding performance week in, week out, and you know, get his teammates involved where possible. But you know, part of this is, hey, when you got somebody like Marcus Howard, you gotta ride it, and that's just how it's gonna be.
Let him shoot, man. Shoot, especially when he's going like he was on, this past week on Tuesday night, whatever that was, Tuesday, Wednesday night. When he's shooting like that, he can shoot as much as he wants, and he did, and I was all good with it, and hopefully that happens many more times this year when we have several more 30-plus point performances from Marcus coming up. And, you know, we'll see as we get into it how capable Marquette is of winning games when Marcus is off or when you know, the other team does have an elite defender on him. He isn't able to get north of 20 points. You know, there were times that's happened in the past year, and this team did pick him up. You know, that we saw big games from, yes, the Hauser brothers. You know, Sakar Anum had his games where he scored a lot to kind of pick Marcus Howard up when he wasn't playing well. We'll see if that's going to be able to continue this week, and who knows, you may need it with some of the, you know, teams that are as defensively capable as Purdue and the Rodents in Madison. you know, as we kind of turn the page here and look ahead to the games this week, like I said, this is a tough for your second games of the season, second and third games of the season. Marquette will be playing at home against Purdue on Wednesday the 13th. This is another Gavitt Games, and we touched on this on the last podcast, Phil, that the Gavitt Games and really Big Ten regular season games for Marquette have really gone poorly for Wojo. He is 3-9 against the Big Ten as the Marquette head coach. All three of the wins are against Wisconsin. 0-7 against all other Big Ten teams, and most of those very lopsided, 15 or more. I really hope it doesn't go that way this week, but I'm kind of bracing for it just based on the history alone. Different team, different situation. What is your gut feeling as Marquette approaches Purdue, who enters this game at 1-1 after they got knocked off by Texas on Saturday?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I wish you hadn't told me that stat last week about how kind of truly pathetic Marquette's been against non-Wisconsin-based Big Ten teams in terms of blowouts. I mean, before I heard that going into this, I was mildly confident that Marquette could win this game. I watched some of the Purdue-Texas game the other night, this past Saturday on the 9th, and Purdue ended up losing. I don't think Texas is some sort of lights-out team, but I think there's things that Marquette can exploit with Purdue, but I really want to see a competitive game, right? Like, that's the biggest thing for me is, like,
I would prefer a blowout in our favor, but...
Well, obviously. Like, I don't know. At some point, you know, if we're in year six of the Wojo experience and we get blown out at home by a decent Big Ten team, like, at some point it comes down to, like, we're starting to run out of evidence that Wojo can take this team to another level, right? Like, that may not to call it early or be dramatic, but if they get blown out in this game, I mean, it may just be an indictment that Wojo can't, you know, take this up to another level.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a little short because it is, granted, it is one game and they have bounced back from blowout losses before and still had good seasons. Nice win totals anyway, but you would like to see them at least be in this game. And I want to say, I definitely lost the tweet. Somebody showed it. It was definitely a KenPom stat, but outside of the Champions Classic, this is the highest rated KenPom matchup of the month of November, or maybe all of non-conference play even, or at least before before January. So I want to say definitely all of November and maybe even all of November and December. There, outside of the Champions Classic, which had, of course, Kansas, Duke, Michigan State, Kentucky, this is the next best matchup.
Wow.
Because you got Purdue is number 8, right, or 9 in KenPom as we're recording this on Sunday, and Marquette is 15. So you got two of the top 15 teams going head-to-head. It really doesn't get much better than that as far as non-conference matchups. Now, there may be some better ones that pop up championship games of preseason tournaments that are not officially happening yet. Duke and Gonzaga or somebody meet in a tournament that I don't know about. I don't have all those brackets ahead of me, but you know what I mean.
Right.
So bottom line is this is a very marquee matchup. This is as good as it's going to get in non-conference for most teams. And so this is really the toughest opponent on Marquette's schedule in the non-con for sure, and maybe the toughest opponent on Marquette's schedule, period, depending on where Villanova is when we get there. Technically, right now, Villanova is two spots higher than Purdue on KenPom, but this is a great opponent. So if you lose, it's not like a catastrophic loss, let's throw in the towel kind of loss.
Yeah,
is legitimately good, but it would be concerning, yes, if they got blown out again.
But keep in mind, the KenPom numbers right now are a little bit skewed, right? Like, Purdue's number is still, until early January, KenPom, with some modification, is by and large using the numbers from last season, right? And that's a
Yeah, that's true. I'm just kind of just going off the data we have right now.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, so Purdue is a 1-1 team, so maybe they're not a legit top 10 team in the country, but the metrics are still kind of favorable, even though a lot of them do play, feed off last year's stats.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it's not devastating. I'm not going to – but I just I guess what I'm trying to convey is it gets tough having to explain away blowout losses like, oh, this loss doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things because of reasons X, Y, and Z. Like, at some point, I would just like to go through a season where Wojo doesn't have his team get blown out.
Is that really asking so much?
Like, I'm not needy. I just would like us to not be blown out.
Let's just go through a whole season and never get pantsed.
Right. That would be, I mean, it's not that hard. But, I mean, from a game perspective, kind of, you know, looking at the game itself, it's going to be an interesting matchup, right? Purdue's got a fair amount of height, but they're not, I wouldn't say they're overly physical. They can be physical, but they tend to be more of a drive and kick kind of team. They're not really, you know, they're not going to, you know, Harms is, 7'3" or whatever, but they don't feed him in the post that much. Mm-hmm. You know, he tends to float away from the low post as well. So it'll be an interesting matchup. I would assume Theo John's going to guard, you know, Harms, or maybe if they go two bigs, it'll be Jace Johnson to guard Harms.
Yeah, it would be nice to have Johnson back for this matchup, just to keep Harms off the glass a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. Well, for sure. And you know, because I think if they can play decent defense and get Purdue to take not quality shots, if they can clean up the defensive rebounds, I think Marquette has a really good chance to win the game. But that's where I would be concerned, is if Marquette can't clean up the glass, then Purdue's going to get a lot of second chances that I think result in them.
I mean, for what it's worth, KenPom has it just about a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
So it's not like Marquette is a huge dog in this thing. I mean, they actually have Marquette as a slight favorite. Again, take the metrics for what it's worth this early in the season. But it looks like it could be a pretty even matchup. It's hard to know too much about these teams. The fact that Texas was able to beat this Purdue team, part of you say, well, maybe Purdue's going to come in refocused and pissed off. Then the other side maybe say, maybe Purdue's still trying to find their footing offensively, although their numbers offensively aren't bad. Again, taking into account the metrics from last year, they are a top 10 adjusted efficiency on offense, top 20 on defense. They're top 15, actually. Effective field goal percentage early on, a little better than 50%, so top third of the country, whereas, you know, by comparison, Marquette is in the top 11 in the country, so Marquette's definitely shot better through one game against an overmatched opponent, while Purdue has actually played a power conference opponent. So it's really tough to – it's just so tough to judge, like, how legitimately good Marquette is compared to Purdue, considering all we have to go off with Marquette is a really one-sided game against an overmatched team, whereas Purdue has actually played a really good opponent so far in Texas. But my gut on this game, Phil, is that I think – Purdue's defense is just going to be so next level compared to what Marquette saw against Loyola, and I think they're going to really have something for Marcus Howard, and that's going to force other guys to beat them. And I'm just concerned that Marquette doesn't have that guy right now. I would love to see it. I hope I'm proven wrong if McEwen or Sakar or one of the young guys have a big game. Brendan Bailey is still out there. You know, he didn't get a ton of shots off. He hit 1-3 against Loyola, but I know there's a lot of hope that he can be a big outside threat this season. But I think Marquette is going to need somebody else to step up offensively if they're going to beat Purdue. I don't think you can rely on Marcus to get 35, 40 points in this game and beat the Boilermakers.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think the other thing that's going to be interesting is Purdue has a lot of length, right? Their shortest player that plays any kind of consequences is 6'3", right? So we've seen Marcus, you know, can be bothered by being guarded by length. You know, so that'll be the interesting matchup, and does it for somebody else to participate from an offensive perspective?
Purdue's starting point guard Eric Hunter is listed at 6'4", so yeah, he's size wise might be a tough matchup for Marcus, and got other guys who can guard on the perimeter. Nojel Eastern, he can handle the ball, and he could probably guard. He's a pretty good defensive guy too, I think. So he's 6'7". Proctor's their other. It looks like they kind of split their minutes at the two-guard spot between Proctor and Stefanovic. So they have a few guys to throw at Howard and McEwen, and I think they'll be a pretty tough team defensively. So if we're going by my preseason predictions, I'm going to just kind of stick with it and kind of look at this one as a loss. But I'm more hopeful of a win than I was a month ago. But I think it will be a competitive game. I would be very surprised and disappointed if Marquette gets blown out in this one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would be very surprised and extremely disappointed. I think Marquette, again, I think Purdue's trying to figure it out. They've had a lot of change and turnover, a fair amount of youth playing, right, with some exceptions. So I have a sense that Marquette can win this. I think it's probably, I was feeling supremely confident like a week and a half ago. But now, you know, I think if I'm putting a number to it, I think it's like Marquette by 6 or 7, and the gap's probably, you know, it's probably one of those in the last minute Marquette's getting fouled to keep, you know, to try and keep Purdue in it, and Marquette hits enough free throws to win the game kind of thing. But it's kind of a nail biter towards the end.
Yeah, I kind of see it the kind of similar way. Maybe I guess my gut says it's going to go like basically exactly what you said, but the opposite, just Purdue by like 2 or 3 points. Maybe come down to the final possession, but we'll see how that goes. Please prove me wrong. Love to see a W on Wednesday. I would love even more to see a W on Sunday. The hated rivalry with the Badgers that
hate
moved
week.
Up this year because of yes, I guess Badger hate week comes early because of conference scheduling with the Big Ten. They've had to move this game up, and it might be this way for the foreseeable future as long as we have the rivalry. And I hope we continue to have this rivalry as long as humanly possible. But you know, Wisconsin, I'm really not sure what to think of them yet. Yes, they are 1-1. They did lose their first game to St. Mary's, who's probably a legit top 25 team, a tournament team, and that was on a neutral site, so not exactly an embarrassing loss or anything for Wisconsin. Then they went out and beat Eastern Illinois on Friday to improve to 1-1. Badgers play pretty much the way you would expect them to. Play very slow, try to play efficiently, play really tough defense. Through two games, not shooting the ball particularly well from three, 21% as a team. Do they even shoot it very much? Yeah, I guess I got a few guys who do fire it up. Not nearly as much as Marquette likes to fire it up, but I'm guessing the thing I'm just curious to see with Wisconsin is how good they are without Hap. And we saw a little bit of it. I'm not like, do they have a go-to guy right now? I guess it's Rivers, but you know, Ford has taken a bunch of shots too. But you know, and of course Davison's out there. He's more probably their leader on defense. But what is your take on the Badgers early from what you've seen or what you know, Phil?
Yeah, so I watched, you know, it's kind of one of those insert the meme. Oh, my eyes. I watched, you know, the second half against Mount St. Mary's and then a little bit, probably 15, 20 minutes in the Eastern Illinois game. I got to say this is kind of a throwback Wisconsin team, right? Like this is the early days of Bo Ryan kind of Wisconsin team where they clearly don't have a ton of talent and are using their system. I mean, this is kind of like, this is a team that's going to play classic swing basketball and invert the post and the wing and that sort of stuff. So I think it's going to be a stylistic change. I don't think they're very good. I think they maybe have a chance to, you know, to have a couple of games where they have, you know, somebody goes off from three or they make a couple of buckets. But I think on the offensive end, they have a lot of struggles especially against more athletic teams. They're not particularly tall. This should be a game that Marquette, with a senior in Marcus Howard and some of the physicality they have and talent they have, they should be able to go into Madison and win that game. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's the thing. I definitely, there's no doubt that I am looking at this game with an extreme bias.
Yes.
Towards Marquette's players. I just think Marquette has better players. Like, man for man, top to bottom. I'm just not sure there are a ton of guys on Wisconsin roster that I am really jealous of.
There's you know, like, not one player that I would, like, I couldn't name one player on Wisconsin's roster that I would want on the Marquette team.
Yeah, like, if you had to, like, trade one of Marquette's players for one of theirs. They have some guys, granted, but that are decent players, but like I wouldn't like trade any of Marquette's guards for Davison, you know, or Kobe King. I mean, Kobe King was a nice recruit. I guess, you know, he would probably fit in depth wise, but he wouldn't start at Marquette, I don't think. You know, same with Trice, decent player. Would I trade Greg Elliott for him? I don't think so. I just think man for man, I think Marquette does have better players. Now, pretty much anyone listening to this podcast hates Wisconsin. You do have to respect the system, which is what you were alluding to, Phil. It has worked for them for quite a while, even when they have guys that aren't highly recruited guys, not NBA talents, which is really a lot of guys, except for the peak Bo Ryan teams. They really rarely have pros, like, or at least high-level pros, like NBA pros. But their system has worked for a long time, and they're always in the top five or so with the Big Ten, if not competing for a Big Ten championship. So, like, the concern is they come in more poised, better prepared, perhaps, and they just execute better. And if Marquette turns it over a bunch, then, yeah, they can get out of hand. They get really ugly in Madison really quick if they're turning over and they just rushing shots and Wisconsin's defense is what you would typically expect. Yeah, Marquette could get embarrassed in this game. But I think if Marquette executes, man, I just think they have better players. Again, granted, we're a Marquette basketball podcast, so we're going to be extremely biased here. But, man, I just think Marquette's better. And I really am kind of expecting a win in Madison on Sunday. And, for what it's worth, Ken Pom does slightly agree. They have Marquette as a slight favorite on the road in this one.
Yeah, I was much more with Ethan Happ and some of the, you know, they have very little freshman talent or redshirt talent that's coming onto this roster compared to last year's roster. And, you know, granted it was at home, but Marquette handled its business against Wisconsin and there is Ethan Happ isn't walking through that door, right? And I don't want to be overconfident or, you know, somehow act like, you know, Wisconsin's nothing, but I just, you know, as we say, you know, games aren't played on paper, but, you know, I just on paper, I really struggle to see how Marquette is anything less than a 7-8, 9 point victor in this game.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that confident and say they're going to go into Madison and blow these guys out. I would be thrilled with a 1-point victory. Anytime you go into enemy territory, you know, you play a road game in non-conference play, it's going to be a challenge. You're always just elated to get out of there with a win. Granted, this is going to probably come off as complaining, but I don't care. There's always a concern that Brad Davison gets his flops, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have an officiating crew who is sympathetic to the flop, and they're going to give him, because, you know, that's a big part of his defense. And some people say, hey, that's just how you play defense, is you play to get the ball back, and if flopping gets the ball back, that's part of it. Okay, that's, you know, I guess maybe technically that's true. It's not a style of basketball I particularly love, but it is a strength of his game and for several guys on that team to flop and get the ball back and get a turnover that way. And if you have an officiating crew who is going to call that, then that could be problematic for Marcus Howard because, you know, he does try to get space and maybe he will kind of get that arm up there sometimes and try to create a little space. And if they're going to call that, that could be a real problem for him, especially, you know, the last thing you want to do is go into Madison and have Marcus Howard have two quick fouls and be in foul trouble in the first half.
Yep.
And then you really have to depend on somebody else to score. So that's always a concern when you're going on the road, is if the officiating is going to be in favor of the home team. And if they're going to, if they're going to get those charge calls, then that could be a problem. So that's always a concern with me when you're playing Madison. But talent wise, again, granted we're biased, but I just think Marquette has more talent pretty much every spot. Rivers is a good player. I guess if I was going to take one guy off his team and add him to Marquette, he could probably fit because he can shoot a little bit and he has some good size. But I kind of like Marquette's guys too in that spot. I mean, I think Morrow can handle him, and Theo John is so tough in the paint that I think he can handle. Like, Theo John is as good as it gets defensively in the paint. And especially if you get Johnson back for this week, Marquette should have plenty of bodies to throw at those guys. And they should be able to really kind of protect the paint and take that part of Wisconsin's game away. And through a couple games, they have not shot well from three at all. They're shooting 21%. So if you're going to force them to shoot from the outside, that's probably a risk you're willing to take, given the talent on the Wisconsin team.
Yeah, for sure. And it'll be interesting, right? You mentioned Theo John and Rovers, right? Like, that'll be an interesting matchup. Like, do you feed Theo in the post? Because there's no way Rovers can guard Theo in the post, you know, hold up against. Now, again, you've always got the sniper in the ceiling that's going to take him out with flops everywhere. That could get Theo into foul trouble. But, you know, so how does Rovers defend Theo? But then conversely, like, if Rovers is going to go out on the three-point arc, you know, is Theo going to get dragged out there in the traditional swing, right, where now somebody like Marcus is getting posted up and Theo's helping away from the post to guard Rovers and stuff. So it'll be interesting matchups. Marquette's definitely going to have to be on their toes because it's going to be a totally different style than Purdue's style, right? So you can't really game plan for one and you know, cover the other. It's going to be two totally different game plans that they have to manage this week. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I don't, even with all that kind of, you know, basketball ninja stuff that the swing offense does, I don't see how Wisconsin has enough talent to outright win the game. They can keep it close, I have no doubt, but I just don't see how they win it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how they win is if they execute and Marquette turns it over and just Marquette doesn't shoot well. Wisconsin winning would not be just, like, floor me and say, like, there's absolutely no way they win because it's a road game. Again, they tend to execute well, so their talent is really not as much of the talent gap is not as much of an issue. Based on talent alone, yeah, Marquette should win this game. If Wisconsin executes better, maybe gets a few friendly whistles here or there, and Marquette, again, makes mistakes on their own, whether it's shooting the ball poorly or turning the ball over, yeah, I could absolutely see how Marquette could lose this game and lose this game badly. But talent-wise, yeah, I'm taking Marquette. I'm taking Marquette in this podcast, but I'm going to predict a win on Sunday against Wisconsin. I just think Marquette's better, and hope whatever happens in the Purdue game, they should have. You know, they're going to have a few days to study up for Wisconsin. Hopefully, everyone will be enter that game healthy, and especially Jace Johnson, because I think it'd be good to have another body and another rebounder against the Badgers, because you don't give up too many offensive rebounds and give them second chance buckets. So, yeah, I like Marquette's chances to go 1-1 this week. Even 2-0, I don't think 2-0 is a stretch. And you go 2-0, I'd be reason to get a little excited about this team because then you're building a pretty nice non-conference resume. So, I definitely like Marquette's chances to get at least one win this week, and I am not ruling out two.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna predict two.
Okay.
I think it's fair to say I would not be surprised if they go 1-1, but yeah, I'm very much willing to predict two. I think they can beat Purdue, and I mean, it's not just the hate week flowing through me. I'm struggling with how Wisconsin can beat Marquette. I get it.
Yeah.
Again, I get it on paper, but I think
I'll be curious. Yeah, not that this is everything, and not necessarily it's any more than what Ken Pom has. I will be curious what the Vegas line is when that pops up later this week to see what the wise guys think of this matchup, but I'm going to keep an eye on that too. But
I'm sure
go something low scoring, something like 65-63. But that's what I'm going for the Wisconsin game, Marquette.
Yeah, I think it's going to be low-ish scoring, but I'm going to go 57-64, Marquette.
Okay, so you went backwards on me there. So
yeah, I decided on what Wisconsin scores were going to be, and then I needed to work backwards to figure out how big I wanted that win to be.
Yeah, and the thing is, with Marquette's improved defense, if that continues to trend upward, I'd be really optimistic that Marquette could really shut down Wisconsin offensively.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like in last year's game, tried as they might, they could not stop Ethan Happ at all. Like he got buckets anytime he wanted, essentially, and it was able to send that game to overtime. So, with him out of the picture, again, you know, Wisconsin fans may be hoping for a little bit of a Ewing theory that you lose a star player and everyone else steps up and the team's better as a whole. Basically what we're going to be telling ourselves about Marquette next year without Marcus.
Right. But right.
They're hoping the team is better as a whole without Ethan Happ because everyone else is going to be a little bit better. But I do wonder who Wisconsin's go-to guy is going to be when they need a bucket, because I know who ours is.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's going to be real interesting to see. And you know, I guess we should, you know, predict what's the line. One for number of times that Davidson punches someone in the groin.
I'm going to take the under, hopefully, man. I hope he learned his lesson from last year. But
my God.
I would not rule it out. I would not rule out a cheap shot or two.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be I mean, there's no love lost between these two teams, and playing it in Madison, I think, will be very interesting, right? Like, Marcus is a senior. Everybody's going to be looking forward to getting rid of him if they're Wisconsin fans. So, you know, I think they're going to bring it wholeheartedly. But, yeah, you just got to go get that win.
Like we said earlier, while Wojo has struggled against the Big Ten, not bad against Wisconsin. He's 3-2. And a win on Sunday would make him – that would be four of the last five, right?
Right, yep.
And that would mean – a win this weekend, that would be Marcus and the seniors would – I guess, yeah, because I guess Sakar sat out his first year. So Sakar as well. So would go – both go 3-4 against Wisconsin.
Not bad. Not bad at all, right?
Yeah, I'd take that.
Yeah, for sure.
Always take going 3-4 against your rival. So
yeah, for sure.
Keep an eye on that one. So, hey, let's do a quick Marcus Howard prediction. How many points does he get this week?
This week, I was unprepared. I'm going to say 46.
46. Okay, so I'm going like I'm going to say 28 against Purdue and just in a lower scoring game, 25 against Wisconsin. So 53.
Okay. All right.
I'm going 53 for Howard this week.
All right. Interesting. I like it. That's good. I went a little bit lower, kind of like anticipating that we would see more, see some more balanced scoring, but who knows? Marcus may just go off and get one of his. How many 50-point games did we predict?
I think we both we set the over under at 2.5. I think I took under, but I said I think he can get 2 50-point games this year.
Okay. Do you think he gets one of them this week?
I would love to, but I the way these two teams play defense, I would be stunned if he got 50.
Yeah,
but I would do backflips if he did.
Could you imagine what would happen if he dropped 50 on Wisconsin in Madison?
Retire his number the next week.
My God! It would
that would be one we would never stop talking about. Yeah, he doesn't need 50. He just needs to win.
Yeah, just take get 1 point. I don't care as long as you win.
Yeah, as long as you win. So, but important week and. Because you're going to need some quality wins in your non-conference resume if you want to talk about the tournament and seeding later on. These are two great opportunities. Really, the Marquette's best opportunities. We'll see what happens in the Orlando tournament coming up after week of Thanksgiving. But this is a chance to really pad the resume because, you know, by contrast, if you go 0-2 this week, well, the pressure's really on to get some wins in the Advocare tournament. I think that's what it's called now, the one in Orlando. And really some pressure to beat Kansas State in December to get some quality non-conference wins. Whereas if you go 2-0, you've got a little breathing room, right? You know, there's not as much pressure well, we have to win this tournament in Orlando, or we absolutely have to go to Manhattan and beat Kansas State. So it would be nice to have a little breathing room, because if you go 2-0 this week, I mean, you're sitting pretty. And heck, Marquette would be ranked next on a week from Monday if they get two wins this week, because they would have one of the better resumes in the country, honestly, if they get two wins this week.
Yeah.
So, a lot on the line. Well, not necessarily a season maker or breaker, but you can really kind of set the tone for the rest of the season, because I think if you get two W's, we're going to be buzzing on this podcast next week and really talking about how this team's making some strides and looking really good. Whereas you go 0-2, there's going to be some hand wringing.
Oh boy, if they lose both of the games this week, I don't know. We may have to cancel the pod because I might throw things.
Yeah, I might have to, but hopefully not. Hopefully, we're back with you next week. talking about two wins, or at least one. We will see what happens. You know, before we get out of here, I did want to give a quick shout-out to a member of our Marquette community who made us all proud over the weekend. If you are a college football fan, you probably watch ESPN's College Game Day. You may remember about 4 years ago, yours truly appeared on College Game Day with a sign that said Marquette football undefeated since 1960 after some encouragement from Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle to do so. Well, that sign, not the exact same sign, but a replica of it, made an appearance on College Game Day over the weekend at the game of the century between LSU and Alabama, which was an incredible game. But shouts to Carson. I guess he is a former Marquette student. I guess he transferred. He's at Alabama now. But he's a Marquette fan, and he must have gotten there ridiculously early to get the real estate he did, because he was like he was on the front row at because he was right behind where Corso sits. So, like, when they were going to Corso, you kind of see a sign a little bit, and when I was there, it was kind of easy because it was at Sundance Square in downtown Fort Worth. There's not a college there. It was just kind of a shopping, restaurants, bars, and that's where they set up when they're in Fort Worth. So when I went there, game day goes live at like 8 a.m. So I got there at like 6:30, and I was able to walk right up and get a great spot, and you could see my sign right behind Kirk Herbstreit. But on a college campus, when these there got to be thousands of kids who either stayed up all night or just like rolled out of bed at in the middle of the night and got there super early to get that spot. He must have gotten there at like 4 a.m. to get that spot. He did. So salute to you, Carson. You made Marquette proud, and imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, so I am flattered, and I am glad the sign made a return to College Game Day this week. I laughed. I enjoyed it very much.
Well, now we just need to get someone 3 to 4 years from now to repeat the feat. And
I don't think we're going to get to the point of like Washington State, right, where we're going to have one at every location everywhere. But it's nice to see that sign pop up every now and then. Just remind people, we haven't lost a football game since 1960.
Yeah, the only miss on Carson's part was he did not put any sort of Venmo thing on there.
I think they actually stopped that now, because I noticed like one sign had a Venmo and it looks like somebody took a magic marker to it. And because like when I went to College Game Day, there were definitely like security guards like looking at your sign to make sure there's nothing like obscene or really offensive on it, because then they would confiscate the sign. So I guess security guard, because like, it's like there's just one way in, so it's not like you could sneak in there with like a really offensive sign or something endorsing money or something like maybe from a competing sponsor that would upset whoever sponsors are on game day. So it looked like somebody did have a Venmo thing and it was scratched out via permanent marker. So I guess they frown upon that now.
Interesting.
They do censor the signs to make sure there's nothing that would be like really offensive or anything on the show.
Okay. Well, so good on you, Carson, though, for keeping Marquette in the national football prominence.
Dang proud of you. Dang proud of you. Really enjoyed it. So, but that is going to do it for this edition of Scrambled Eggs. Oh, I do want to – there's one more thing to watch for this week. Dawson Garcia, top 100 prospect, top 25 prospect, really. He completed his official visit to Marquette over the weekend. Nothing is official, but I think many people are anticipating a commitment from him really any day now, because the early signing period begins this week. So Marquette's other two commitments, Oso and Justin Lewis, they'll probably sign this week, so you'll probably see that news coming out. So they'll officially be Marquette, or committed to Marquette, and so Wojo can have a press conference and speak about them. We'll see if Dawson Garcia does the same. I get the sense that it's down to Marquette in Indiana for Garcia. He's also considering his hometown, Minnesota Golden Gophers, who he seemed – I definitely saw him tweet about Minnesota's big win over your Nittany Lions. Sorry to bring that up, Phil. But he's definitely considering Minnesota, and he was also considering Memphis, though considering the very dicey situation between Penny Hardaway and the NCAA right now, I'm not sure where Memphis is on his list. But I do get the sense it's down to Marquette in Indiana for Dawson Garcia. But we'll see what happens. I think Marquette's in great position, and we'll see if he tweets anything or does one of those Tipton edits things to officially announce his commitment. So that could happen Monday. It could happen a week from Monday. It could happen in April. We don't know. But I am anticipating that he took that last official visit to Marquette just before the signing period on a weekend when there was no game, because he just wanted to talk to the coaching staff, get one more sense of where they feel he fits in with the pieces they have after he's already heard pitches from schools he likes, like Minnesota and Indiana. And I think he's going to sit down this week and make a decision. So I would anticipate some kind of announcement. And I think there is a maybe a 50-50 chance that it is good news for Marquette this week with Dawson Garcia.
So, I mean, really, we should be predicting whether or not Marquette goes 3-0 this week.
Yeah, 3-0, yeah.
Yeah, 3-0.
Three pieces of good news over the course of the next 7 days.
You know what?
That's what I'm hoping for.
You know what?
For.
I'm calling it. Marquette goes 3-0 this week. I just – right. It has to. It has to.
All right. I love the good vibes. I appreciate the good vibes. As always on this podcast, we love the good vibes. And we appreciate the good vibes from you when you listen, you download, you subscribe, and you give us your feedback. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. You can go to cracksidewalks.com. We post the podcast there. You can leave your comments there if you're not a Twitter person. We also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. They are posted there. And always, please rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate that feedback as well. Phil, any final thoughts before we go at the Big Ten this week?
Beat the Badgers. Whatever you do, just beat the Badgers.
Beat the Boilers. Beat the Badgers. That's all I really want this week. And if Dawson Garcia wants to announce a commitment, that'd be great too. Until next time, seashells and balloons, everybody.